For these weeks leading up to Christmas, we're making our way through the verses you just saw in the video, and we're talking about the fact that we live, according to what the Bible says about what Christmas really is all about, we live on what could be called the visited planet. We live on the planet in this universe, among its vastness and in all of its vastness, the planet that has been visited by God Himself in and as the person of Jesus Christ. And so in this series, what we're talking about is the question that's asked in a song that we often sing at Christmas. We're answering the question, what child is this? Who was this one who was born in Bethlehem? And today we're going to look at Micah chapter 5. And so let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to a verse in Micah chapter 5, Micah chapter 5 verse 2, so that you can see for yourself the text we're looking at this morning and follow along. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, there are blue Bibles that are underneath the chairs, and so you can reach under the chair in front of you if you'd like to and take one of those Bibles. I would encourage you to do that if you don't have your own with you this morning. And if you do use one of those Bibles, you can turn to page 779. 779, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Last week, we looked at his supernatural birth. And we looked at a prophecy in the book of Isaiah, in which Isaiah said, a sign will be given to you. A virgin will conceive and will bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This morning, we're going to continue to see how that name really does answer the question, what child is this? Emmanuel. Jesus was God Himself in all of His fullness with us, dwelling with us. And we're going to see that even more clearly today in this verse. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me," this is God speaking through Micah, "from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient of days." There are two things this morning primarily that I want you to see in this one verse that was written and spoken about 700 years before Jesus Himself was born in the city of Bethlehem. Two things. First of all, in this verse we have a statement about Messiah's or His earthly place of birth. His earthly place of birth. Where on this earth this one who was promised was going to be born. Notice again the first part of the verse. It says there, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel." Notice this verse highlights the fact that Bethlehem was a small town. The second phrase of the verse says, too little, refers to Bethlehem as too little to be among the clans of Judah. This was the place where Messiah was to be born, and it's predicted here 700 years before it happens. Now, as I was thinking about this fact that Bethlehem was such a small town, I thought about when my wife and I were actually moving from Alabama, where we had served for about 8 years in a church, to Seattle, Washington, which is where we were before we came here, in 2001, 2002. In those years, we were in process of moving in that direction, moving westward. We made our way through Wyoming and Montana, and I don't remember which of those two states I saw this in, but I remember needing gas. I was almost out of gas, and if you've driven through Montana or through Wyoming, you know that there are long stretches of road where you don't see hardly anything but rocks. And so I was in one of those places, and I was moving down the road, and finally, off in the distance, I saw what looked like a gas station and a store. And so as I got closer, I was hoping that it was that, and as I got closer, I realized it was. So I got off the exit, and when I got off the exit, I saw a green sign that said, City of Buford, population 3. Well, I pulled into the gas station, I pumped the gas, I went inside to pay and to get snacks, and when I paid, I met the man who was working the register, and his name was Buford. I also met his wife and his son, population 3. They had incorporated, I assume. Their family was a city. Well, Bethlehem wasn't quite that small. Most who've studied history and done some work in archaeology would suggest that the city of Bethlehem was probably between 60 and 150 people in terms of population, those who regularly lived in the city. And this is the city where Jesus was born. This is the city where Micah said 700 years before it happened that he would be born. In the New Testament, let me encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 2 for just a brief moment and notice that this verse is referred to that we're looking at this morning in the Christmas story. In Matthew chapter 2, we read about some wise men who came, having seen a star, to find the one that they called the King of the Jews. Look at the first 6 verses in Matthew chapter 2 as we continue this morning. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, that is the Jewish people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And then they refer to this text and say this, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. What you have here is really a compilation of a couple of Old Testament texts that were obviously believed to be messianic, that is, predictive of the Christ who would come, that these chief priests and scribes refer to, one of which, the primary one that they use, is the one we're looking at this morning, Isaiah chapter 5. Verse 2. So, Micah tells us hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand the earthly place where Jesus or where the Messiah or the Christ would be born. But the thing I want us to focus on this morning goes beyond that and comes to, we see it at the end of the verse. Notice how the verse ends. Referring to Bethlehem, the prophet says, or God says through the prophet, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin, or more literally, coming forth, is from of old, or it could be translated, from everlasting, from ancient of days. What I want us to really focus on this morning in this prediction about the coming of the Messiah is not primarily his earthly place of birth, but his eternal preexistence before birth. Because that's what's being alluded to here at the end of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. One of the things you'll discover if you study this verse, and particularly the last part of this verse that we're focusing on this morning, is this. You'll discover that the language here is somewhat difficult, and there is a diversity of how people there's diversity in how people understand exactly what's being said at the end of this verse. Let me mention this morning two things that are primarily believed to be communicated by what this verse says here at the end of it, the end of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Some have said what's being said here is this: when Messiah comes, he will be one who had exited from heaven frequently before his birth. Let me say that again. Some see in this last phrase, or in these last phrases of this verse, a statement about the Messiah and the one who would be born in this small city called Bethlehem, and that the prophet was saying, when he comes, when Messiah is born, when the Christ comes, he will be one who had exited from heaven frequently before his birth. Now let me explain. Quite often, if you read the Old Testament, you'll come across particular passages that will refer to either the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, or in one passage, there's reference to the commander of the Lord's host. And what's interesting when you read those passages in the Old Testament is that it becomes apparent that you're not just talking about an angel. You're talking about something or someone, actually, that is more than just an angel. Though this person is referred to in the Old Testament as the angel or messenger of the Lord, or the angel of God, or the commander of the Lord's host. And here's what I mean, and let me encourage you to consider doing something if you're interested in learning a little bit more about this. Find a Bible search engine. I use Bible Crosswalk is one of the ones that you could use. But enter the angel of the Lord, and then read every reference that you find. And then enter the angel of God, and read every reference that you find. And then enter the commander of the Lord's host, and read what you find there. Here's what you're going to discover, and I hope you'll do this for yourself. But here's what you'll discover. In those passages, the angel of the Lord refers to the Lord as someone distinct from him, and is also referred to as the Lord. And it's hard to figure out when you start reading it, because you say, well, I thought this was the angel of the Lord, but he's being called God, or he's being treated and spoken of as if he were God himself. And yet there are other passages where the angel of the Lord does refer to God as other, or as distinct from himself. How do you explain this? Well, most people who've studied the Old Testament believe that this was a pre-incarnate visit by Jesus himself, God the Son, who was both the angel of the Lord and the Lord. That is, he was the messenger of God and he was God. You see, the only way to explain it is to understand that God exists in more than one person. God is Father, the Bible teaches. God is Son, and the Bible also teaches that God is Holy Spirit. And so the only way one could refer to God as other than himself and himself be God would be the only way to explain that would be for us to believe that God exists in multiple persons, in three persons, according to Scripture. And so it may be, because the word here, origin is the way it is in some translations, is literally coming forth. Or, actually, the word is the word that we get the word Exodus from in the Old Testament. So it could be read, whose exodusing or exoduses are from of old. In other words, prior to being born, Jesus had already visited this planet. God the Son had already visited multiple times in key circumstances and situations in the Old Testament. But here's what I want you to understand before we move on. God the Son visiting before his birth was very different from what happened in Bethlehem and his life here on earth. Very different. There are a couple of ways to distinguish between the two. And let me just share a couple of those with you this morning. Before Bethlehem, he came frequently as a visitor. At Bethlehem, he came finally as a resident. Very different. Before Bethlehem, he apparently became a man when he came to earth. At Bethlehem, he actually became a man when he came to earth. Another way to say that would be to say it like this. Before Bethlehem, the angel of the Lord or the angel of God or the commander of the Lord's host would appear and then later disappear. At Bethlehem, God the Son was born and then later he died. Very different. Very different. And maybe the best way to sum it up would be to put it like this. Before Bethlehem, he had periodically assumed human form. But at Bethlehem, he had permanently acquired human nature. He had become a man. And I don't know if you've thought about this much, but as we sit here this morning, according to the Bible, there is a man at the right hand of God. A man. You see, when Jesus was born, he continued to be what he had always been, God. But he became what he had never been, man. And now he continues to be what he always was, God. And continues to be what he became, man. There is a man at the right hand of God in heaven right now because of Christmas. Because something happened at Christmas that's so incredible. If you think about it, the eternal became an embryo. That's what Christmas is all about. The infinite became an infant. That's what Christmas is all about. And he is and will forever be what he became. A man. Fully man. Fully God. When he came. So it could be that at the end of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. That the prophet is saying about the Messiah that when he comes and is born in Bethlehem, he will be one who had exited from heaven frequently before his birth. Another way to understand this, and I personally think both of these are intended and included in how we should understand the end of this verse. The second way that some have understood this is this. When Messiah comes and is born in Bethlehem, he will be one who had existed in heaven forever before his birth. He will be one who had existed in heaven forever before his birth. It says at the end of the verse, whose origin or coming forth is from of old, or it could be translated from everlasting. As a matter of fact, the same term that's used here is used in Psalm 90, verse 2, which says this, before the mountains were formed, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Same term, right here. Whose origin or whose coming forth is from of old or from everlasting, from ancient days. In other words, think about this. Micah is saying, when Messiah comes, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and when that child is born in Bethlehem, he will be one who had already existed in heaven forever before his birth. The terminology here is interesting, coming forth. Coming forth. We see it earlier in the verse where it says about Bethlehem, from you shall come forth. But here later in the verse, it says whose coming forth is from of old. So which is it? Is the Messiah's coming forth going to be from Jerusalem or from everlasting? The answer is yes. In terms of his birth, he was going to come from Bethlehem. In terms of his existence, he's going to be the one who had come forth from all of eternity, who had existed forever. That's what Micah is saying here. Again, the terminology is interesting, coming forth. What's probably being referred to here is the fact that the Son comes forth from the Father. And the word origin is used here. There's a sense in which that's a good word, and there's a sense in which that's not a good word for the term here. Because when you hear origin, what do you think of? You probably think of source, but you may also think of beginning. It means source in this text. It doesn't mean beginning because Jesus never began. The one who became man at Christmas never began. In other words, and this sounds strange, but he has been coming forth from the Father forever. One of the illustrations I read that helped me with this, and of course there's no illustration that's perfect when you start talking about and thinking about and trying to understand God, but this one helps a little bit. Think about the sun, and think about sunlight. Sunlight comes forth from the sun. They're distinct, but neither can exist without the other. Think about it. You can't have the sun without the sunlight. And you can't have the sunlight without the sun. They are coexistent. That means they exist together. That's what the Bible teaches about Jesus, who before his birth had existed forever and preceded or come forth forever from God. Just like sun and sunlight, Jesus had existed forever in heaven before he was born and became a man on Christmas morning. I heard a pastor say years ago, Jesus was the only one who was ever born who had an earthly mother but didn't have an earthly father. Who had a heavenly father but didn't have a heavenly mother. Who was older than his mother and as old as his father. That's what the last part of that statement is exactly what this text is saying. Last week we looked at the prophecy that he would come forth from a virgin. He had an earthly mother, but he didn't have an earthly father, right? But he had existed forever before his birth, meaning he was older than his mother and as old as his father, because he had been eternally coming forth from the Father, existing from and with the Father forever. Before his birth. Now let me ask you a question this morning. How do you know if you really believe that? How do you know if you really believe that? I'm convinced there are lots of people who attend church, lots of people who will be in church in connection with this time of year, who will hear this, and who might even say they agree with it. But do they really? Do they really believe it? Here's what I'm asking. how will you know when a person really believes the essence of what the Bible says about what was happening at Christmas? Here's the answer. When a person really believes that, Christ becomes the center of their life. Because that can't be real to you. That can't be real to you and Jesus not be the center of your life. Because when you really believe that, you understand that that means that everything Jesus said and did had absolute authority. And everything that Jesus said and did is totally trustworthy. And if you really believe that, you know what you'll do? You'll be highly motivated to know and follow Jesus Christ. So let me ask you the question again. Do you really believe this? Have you ever really believed this? Has this ever been real to you? Has there ever been a time in your life when you had a passion to know and follow Jesus? Because if the answer to that question is honestly no, then I want to say to you just as honestly as I know how, no matter what you profess, you don't really have saving faith. Because faith works. True faith brings change into our lives. Now, maybe some of you would have to say, you know, I've been in church most of my life. I've heard these things most of my life. But my life's never really been changed. I've heard several pastors refer to it this way. But maybe this morning there are some who are here who need an 18-inch conversion. Because that's the distance from your head to your heart. Maybe you know intellectually and would nod and consent to the things we're talking about this morning, which is the essence of Christmas and what Christmas really is all about. But the question is it real to you? If you really believe this, the inevitable response to this incredible reality, if it's real to you, if you really believe it, will be Jesus will become the center of your life. Maybe there are some of you who would say this morning, you know, that was true at one time in my life. But the passion has diminished, and I've allowed other things to take the center of my life other than a relationship with Jesus. My prayer, very simply, for this Christmas season is this, that the essence of the meaning of Christmas would be real to every person who attends any of our gatherings in connection with and in relationship to and as we prepare for Christmas. And here's why. Because when the truths of Christmas and Christianity are real to you, you can't be lukewarm. You can't be. When the truths of Christmas and Christianity are real to you, you can't be lukewarm. You can't be ho-hum about somebody that you really believe had exited from heaven frequently before his birth and who had existed in heaven forever before his birth. You cannot casually approach Jesus if you really believe that about Jesus. And you cannot be ho-hum about what he said and what he did and what he meant, which we find in the New Testament. So again, my prayer for myself and for all of us is that this reality would become more and more real to us. And because of that, we would love and serve and seek Jesus more and more passionately and desire to see other people in Cameroon and in other places throughout the world come to know this story and this truth about the one who was born in Bethlehem. Maybe some of you this morning need to talk to someone about your relationship with God through Christ, about your faith. Maybe you have questions, want to know more about believing and following Jesus. When we're dismissed in just a few minutes, I'll stand down at the front, and Pastor Paul will do so also. And we'll just be here for anyone who might want to come over to where we are, come up to us and share with us anything by way of prayer requests, or more particularly, if you want to talk to one of us about how you can have a relationship with Christ and how you can follow Him and how you can trust Him and know Him as your Lord and Savior. We'd like to be able to help you with that this morning. So let me invite you as we conclude this morning to stand. And as you're standing for the benediction, let me mention this one thing before we're dismissed. As was mentioned earlier, there are invite cards outside at the kiosk. There's a basket out there, and you can see these cards, find these cards easily. Take a few of those and invite people that you may know to our Christmas Eve service, because again, as was said earlier, this is a time when people are more open to invitations and more likely to respond positively to that kind of invitation. And God could use you and use your invitation and giving someone this card as a reminder about our Christmas Eve service to make a difference in someone's life this Christmas season. Let's bow. And this will be our benediction, and we'll be dismissed. Father, how can we comprehend the mystery of your person? We know we can't, because we're humans, and our minds can't comprehend all that the Bible reveals about the majesty and the mystery of who you are. And yet we understand, because you have revealed it, that you have always existed as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And that God the Son came and was born in Bethlehem. And I pray, Father, that that reality would become more and more real to us, so that in light of that belief, we might be the people that we should be and that you call us to be as those who profess your name. I pray for those, Lord, here who may have questions or may have an interest in talking further about their relationship with Christ. I pray that you would help them to follow through with that as we conclude the service. And I pray, Father, that there would be many who would come to know Christ as a result of being a part of our services during this season. We praise you. We pray that you would use us to be witnesses for you. And also, God, use our efforts as we invite people to come to our Christmas Eve service, and use that, God, to draw people to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.